The Mishnah of Basra begins as follows: Ashutfin Sharatsu Lasos Mechitza Bechatzer Bonin Et Hakotel Ve'emtza. Two people went there on the land and they wanted to divide the land in half. In half, so they built a wall in between. Malcolm Shenagul Livnot Gavio Gazis Kefisin Levinin Bonin Et Hakotel Menega Medina. What type of material can I force you to build? The answer is depend upon the Menega Medina. The city builds with level X, and you want to pay for something cheaper, inferior quality, it's not allowed to mechayev you to pay for what the Minhag Medina is, each place differently. Then no say, so let's just say if it's Gavil, if you're building a wall out of Gavil, then no say Gimel Tfachim, then no say Gimel Tfachim, because this, then no say Tfachim Mechta, then no say Tfachim Mechta, the Kapistin, then no say Tfachim, then no say Tfachim, the Levino say Tfachim Mechta, then no say Tfachim Mechta. So each different material has a different amount of, each different type of wall requires a different amount. So for the Gavil for a second requires 6 Tvachim, so I'll put in 3 and you put in 3. Good? Okay? To finish up the Mishnah, Lefika, Im Nafal HaKotel B'Malkum V'Havanim Shal Shnehim, therefore if the wall falls down, the Kotel and the remains of the Kotel, the rocks, and the land belongs to both. Then the Mishnah gives several other cases. We're going to skip them for now. The truth is there's several issues to deal with on the Mishnah. I want to pick up on just one of them. A small little comment that the Mefarshim made on Rashi, which I think will serve as a quick little textual nuance, which will open up the door for maybe the central understanding of the din. Again, the major question, before we can get this, I'll mention on Rashi. The major question is, where does this din come from? How do I understand this din? What is this din that I can be mechayev to pay for a wall? Where does that come from? What type of chiyuv is it? That's going to be the central question, and it's worthwhile to note right away what is the central issue. But we'll use, hopefully, the Mishnah as a springboard to get into it. Take a look at Rashi, give an askal ba'emsa. Just to review the line that Mishnah is talking about, Ashutfin Sharatu Lasat Mechitza Bechatzer, Bon Nesakotel ba'emsa. Says Rashi ba'emsa, Zen no sein mechelko, chetzi makom, Ovi hakotel v'chein zeh. Any comments on this Rashi? Small little Rashi. Seems to be a very innocent Rashi. I think it is at first glance. What any interesting comments or points of thought you have on this Rashi? Zen no sein michelko, chetzi makom, ovi hakotel, v'chein zeh. What's Rashi suggesting? What's Rashi doing here? He's asking a question, he's giving an answer. What's he doing? Clarifying what? So that's what the Mishnah said. What is Rashi clarifying? What was unclear before Rashi added in his comment, and what became clearer now? Hang on, let's finish up. I don't see how that came out of Rashi, what you just said right now. You're on the right point, meaning I'm bothered with the point, which is, I don't understand what Rashi's added. When I read the Mishnah, everything Rashi mentioned was crystal clear to me. Zen no sein mechelko chetzi makom ovi hakotel v'chein zeh. Did anyone think that? I don't even know what else you would have thought. In other words, the Mishnah says, if you have a wall you're building out of Gavino, you give 3, I give 3. Rashi comes along and says, Zen no sein mechelko chetzi makom ovi hakotel. I thought that was crystal clear and obvious, but that was unnecessary. I was trying to figure out what Rashi's teaching over here. Now again, not a critical question, but you'd like to figure out the general assumptions. Rashi's trying to say something, I can talk, there's nothing else to say. Rashi is not like an art scroll, Gemara that comments on every single thing. The more difficult part, he is somewhat of the art scroll, but the easier parts, he assumes you know how to read. Question is, what's Rashi offering here? So the Shikha Mekubetz and the Prisha make a deal from his Rashi, like the deal or not. I think it's a good deal, I mean, it's the greatest deal. Yeah, but I think it's pretty fair. They want to make a deal that the Chiddush of Rashi is that Zen no sein mechelko chetzi makom. What would I have thought otherwise? So the truth is, let's have the following case. Our case in the Mishnah is, let's say, two people each own a chatzar. You own part and I own part. So the deal is, we want to build a wall in the middle. So we each take 3 tefachim. That's exactly the mission. Now, the mission is a great case. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Problem is, let's just say, here's my chatzar. Where I own a third of it, you own a third. Okay, so now we want to build the wall of Gavil.
2 and 4.
Is it 2 and 4? That's a Jewish guess. Who said that? One could suggest it's Suin 4. So it makes a lot of sense, right? After all, according to the proportions of the chaser, one would divide the land. Says the Frisha, says the Shittim was the best. If you look at Rashi, that's exactly what Rashi is coming to exclude. Rashi does not hold to that. Rashi's chiddush is the word be'emtsa means zeno sein mechelko cheti makom ovi hakota. And that's not just what the chiddush is, the words cheti makom, I'm sorry, the chiddush is cheti makom, each guy gives half, and more than that, that's how you translate the word be'emtsa. The word be'emtsa means, in other words, exactly the emtsa. It's not the emtsa of the kota, it's the emtsa, you take, in other words, that's how the appreciation of the ration. And therefore, you wouldn't say 4 and 2, rather you would say 3 and 3. The truth is the sheet of 3 and 3 is spelled out by many people. We got Ramah spelled it out. The Torah says it's a fairish. The Shulchan Aruch says it's a fairish. Again, it could be sheet of Rashi. Rashi had to spell it out, but it is Rashi according to sheet of the best set and according to the Prisha. However, there are other Shulchan who say, no, it's not as if it's 3. Taki did a 4 and 2. That's the sheet of the Rashash. The Rashash came a little bit later on. He was one of the later Akronim. What did it go? Definitely a lot of spine and courage to get up and disagree with most people. The Rashash says, no, it's incorrect. Don't make this deal with Rashi, or if you do, realize it's wrong. Rather, if you divide a field, you divide it proportionately. And what I'd like to do is analyze this machlokas for a moment and try to figure out what's behind it, what's going on over here. Why would anyone suggest one way versus the other way? Intuitively, they both sound kind of nice. Now the question is, if you had to choose, and I can imagine someone fighting over this. Again, it's small amounts of land, but, at the end of the day, it has to be adjudicated like every other case in the world. Could be big, yeah? At the end of the day, what's behind this machlokas? Why would the Yad Ramah, why would the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, and Rashi, and many of the Mefarshim insist that it be 3 and 3? While other Mishonim would say, no, that's not 3 and 3, but rather what? 4 and 2 divided proportionally. What's behind this machlokas? Mefarshim. Clear? Good. What do you got, Adam?
It's, quite a question. Is when Rashi gave the explanation of Rashi,
that it's spelling
on the halacha, or the
spelling
on the case. So
that's
something
to explain. So the Rashi is
simply saying that this is the
din b'emtza,
when it's
the
case of where they split it
off. You always make it the emtza. In other words, what does emtza mean? It means zeno samin chalko chet imalkab ovi akotel. Any case. It's always 3 and 3. That's the partial of Rashi. Question, what's behind this machlokas? And I'd like to use the rush as a springboard to develop the theories about this din in general. What is this halacha all about? What's this din of, I can force you to help build a wall with me together? How do I understand this halacha? What is it about this wall? Where does this come from? How does it operate? How does it work? And just a few test cases will help us reveal the theories behind it, which will hopefully develop be the theories that can be reapplied back to my focus, the rush versus the Adam. You with me? What I'm going to do is use the interesting rush. Put the rush on the second side of the page. There's a lot of good stuff to see, but being that I'm short on time, we're not letting them bash the goals just to get like highlights. So we'll take a look at those pages. The rush is dealing with the following case. Let's say I've been living there for 30 years, and the Hastings have been living across us for 30 years as well. And all of a sudden, the Hastings say to us, let's build a wall. And I say, come on. For the last 30 years, we're bothered by Hezekiah. We're bothered by the fact that you could see into our property, the Horn family. I'm like, come on. We've been living here together 30 years. You haven't been bothered at all for 1 second. I'm not building the wall. You want to build it? Spend your own money to build it. And the Hastings respond, no, we don't. We want to split the wall. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. And I'll say, but what would the case be in such a case? Again, if we just both move in together, it's totally different. It's off the start. But if I just move in now and buy a house and throw it out, maybe that's different. What would the halacha be for 30 years you've been living there? So that's what the rush picks up. So the rush starts off suggesting his spouse. It says like this. Take a look at Oath Bait. V'shutfin shechalku as a chater v'lo bonu kotel b'inayu. Let's say we divided the field and we didn't build a kotel there at all. V'achar kama shanim tava ha'echel levnot kotel b'neyem v'shkineg do towing hine machalta liyav hazek riyah shani mazikcha. And Hastin said to us, you know, put up a wall. I'm like, what are you talking about? You are mochel on the hezek riyah because you allowed us to look into your backyard for 30 years. There is no hezek riyah. Not, you know, no hezek riyah over here. But if that's the liyav machalta liyav hazekzati bo kama shanim, what's the din? Ain tana so taina v'lo shaykh kan chazaka. What's the din? The Hastins can indeed, according to the Rush, force me to build a wall. Why? Because my taina is not a good taina. The taina de chazaka hainu kevin de shasak v'lo micha hefsi. Hainu davke hecha shemachzik hu mazik v'enu nizak kigon mi sheyesh lo chalom pasuach v'chatzach haveiro v'hechzik v'o shalosh shanim. About Hacha Matsu Nemer, Lama Hayalol and Kot Jotemim Ka, Vahalo Hayisi Mazikha, Kmosha Yisi Mazikani, Vahisi Mitzapa Ulaik, Tataka Tolikvala. In other words, says the Rush, the claim that cases are making against me is just a fight, it's not good. Let's just figure out the claim. In general, with the Halacha, if I'm sitting on land for 3 years, it's called Cheskat Gimel Shan. If I've been squatting, sitting on land for 3 years, and let's say Josh comes over and says, hey, that's my land. I'm like, if it really was your land, you would have said something for the last 3 years. Since I'm sitting on that land, and you have been quiet, together, the halacha is that I get to keep the land. In other words, you have to go bring a riot. The fact that I'm sitting on land for 3 years, the fact that I'm squatting there, living there, farming there, doing whatever I'm doing on that land, is a riot. Not a kidney, but a riot that the land belongs to me. If you want to, you want to try to proclaim it again. So that halach of Chetkas Gimel Shonim is not an is not applied to our case where the Hastings are saying, let's build a wall. Why not, says the Rush? Because this is not a unique situation. The standard situation is where Josh was quiet for 3 years, says the Rush. He shouldn't have been quiet. It's his own fault for being quiet. However, the Hastings are not at fault for being quiet. They have a very good response. They say, not only were you looking into our land, but we were looking into your land. And as long as things were even, as long as it was a two-way street, I'm looking forward to the other guy's property, as long as that was the case, we were quiet. But now we're speaking up. And therefore, you would not apply the principle of Chesed Gimel Shan. However, says the Rush, and this is, we'll skip down to a little bit later on in the piece where it says about. With an underline to pick up again. I'll go to what forward before that. Hilkach, Sarach Latayim, Abedin Akotel, therefore the Hazen Supreme Machayim, and Abedin Akotel. Aval says the Rush. Bin Yeshlo Eidim Shem Machlo Hashet Bin Zegdeh. Al Hezek Yeshuv Ein Yecholun Lapsa Behen.
The Rush makes a distinction between two cases. If the Hazen claims based upon Chesgas, Gimel Shanim, then what they did, they could be hiding here for the wall. However, if the Hastings and the Warrens sit down in front of two Adim, and we're like, yeah, we're mochel each other, well, then Mechila works, and if they claim to build the wall for us years from now, then what?
Okay.
It's no good. They can't. Or in other words, you see from the Rush two important conclusions. We'll finish reading the Rush inside in a second. A, Mechila does work. You can be mochel, this chiyuv to build a kotel, A. And B, Cheskas Gimel Shanim is not considered a mechila. It's not good enough of a riot. In other words, if it's Cheskas Gimel Shanim, no good. If it's Lifnei Adim, then what's the din? Then it can be mechila. That's the Russian basic mechila. Now the truth is, both of these points are subject to debate. The first one is really not my topic, but a really important one. That Chetkas Gimel Shanim is not a good enough claim. And the reason the Rush offers it because only, what's the question? The reason the Rush offers it because Dafka Hecha Shehamachzik Hu Hamadik Ve'enu Hanizak. If I'm sitting on the land and I'm taking Josh Goodman's land, and I'm damaging him, but not also being damaged. I'm just sitting on his land, I'm just attacking, being offensive, then he should have spoken up.
However, the Hastings case, being that I'm looking at the Hishrashim, he's looking at the Madrashim, it's a two-way street. We're both equally damaging as well as we are being damaged. We're both the Madrashim and the Nizak, therefore what? No. Now, many dispute this Rush. I'm not mistaken, the footnotes of the Baruch Shmuel quote, the Shulchan Aruch, who disagreed with this Nekuda. And Lechora, although not my topic, this Machlokes is about whether or not how Chesed Gimel Shanim works. Again, it's a peripheral side point, not a major topic, but we're talking about things. How does Chesed Gimel Shanim work? Let's just go. Yeah, you have a territory now. Chesed Gimel Shanim, I'll be cautious. You have one guy who's machzik the land, and then you have another guy who's the orer and says, hey, that's my land. The fact that the machzik was there 3 years and the ma'orer was quiet for 3 years means that who wins? The machzik. Now, one can understand that halacha in one of two ways. You know who can speak it out? Again, it's not a major point, but it's worth provoking me to be able to put them together, yeah?
Sure,
it's not.
But it's
A, that
the machzik was there.
Correct, that's what it's up to. Exactly. Why does the machzik win and the ma'orer lose? Is it because the machzik, his tremendous amount of control. He was sitting on the land for 3 years. He has a very good raya. He's expressing his strength, the shlita on the land. Is it his strength? Or is it the fact that the ma'orer is weak? In fact, the ma'orer said, no, you were quiet for 3 years. Now, there are all sorts of nafkaminas to this shayla. When we learn cheskes habatim, this is like the major chakir of cheskes habatim. The whole first five daf, every nafkot can be shown. Slightly exaggerated. Depends upon this chakir. There's a famous insos about this, whether or not this star Isaac Rabbanon and they link up to the shayla. There's a lot of famous stuff about this. Why do I win? Because I'm on the land for 3 years, or because of my strength, or because of your weakness? According to the Rush, which one do you think it is? What?
What do you want to think? Why? Because by him, if I was weak, then you win.
Yeah, in other words, it's only because the Ma'orah was silent. If the Ma'orah would have been, in other words, with no good reason. Over here, however, I have been living in the land. I'm just as strong. That's irrelevant, says the Rush. In case of the I'm looking into your land, you're looking into my land. There is the strength of the case. I haven't been there. We don't care about that, says the Rush. The whole reason why Chesed Gimel Shanim works, and when it does work, is because the Ma'orer was foolishly silent. He was incriminating himself by not saying anything. Over here, the Ma'orer is not incriminating himself, and therefore what? Arguably, he has a good reason, and therefore that's not enough to prove that there's a Mechila. Not enough to prove the case. Okay, that's my focus, the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch and the Rishon Aruch and the Shulchan Aruch. Not my topic right now, but an interesting one and a worthwhile thing to be aware of. A, this Machlokes. A, conceptually, when you learn a Rush, you gotta pull out all the major conceptual points, even if it's not really a topic. You may want to deal with that, but we're not dealing with it properly. Just raising the issue, then it's really important to have to be aware of, as well as conceptually, to understand the mechanics of the din of Machlokes Ma'orer. Back to our topic. That's our the second major condition, according to the Rush, is that the chiyuv to build a kotel is one that is subject to mechila. In other words, if the hasid and the horn got together and in front of the agent and we said, we're not mapping on each other's heads and radio, that's not what we care about. We can look at the Amishah, we can look at the Hindushah. Once we're mochel, what's it in? We can, exactly. There's no going back to that moment. It's eternal learning. You can no longer undo it. You can no longer change your mind. We're both for one, and you're dependent. Other Rishonim disagree with the second Akuda of the Rush. This one right here. The Ramban, for example, the other Rishonim believe that, no, that's incorrect. When it comes to a chiyuv to build a wall, I temporarily not mine, but if I change my mind and it bothers me, I want to have new operation in my backyard. In fact, I just used to let it sit around, irresponsibly. These days, I want to develop all sorts of things. I don't want your prying eyes looking in. I want to be more secretive about it. I have the right to do so. Do you have that right? Says the Rush. Once you're mochel, you're mochel. Says the Ramban. Know that mechila does not last eternally. It's a temporary, second by second chiyuv.
Every second I'm looking at the Hastings yard, he's looking at the my yard. I'm mocha as long as I'm mocha. But once I'm done mocha, so once I'm done being mocha, once I even with the Hastings, me, no. We want to build a wall. We don't want you looking in our yard anymore. So now they can force me, even if the mechila was done in front of Eidim, in front of Beis, and it's written down, and we agree that we were mocha. The Hastings, according to the Ramban, have the right to do what? Start afresh, start anew. And now the question becomes, leaving behind this Yad Ramah, the Rashash, get back to that in a moment, this really strikes at the core of what is the chiyuv to build a wall. We're going to try our best to articulate that in a second, but one of the major clues as to what the chiyuv is to build a wall should be dependent upon when that chiyuv kicks in. Is it a one-time chiyuv? Or is it a continuous chiyuv every second? Lamai nafkamina. If you are a mochel, does that mechila, you know, last eternally? Or not? Every second is a new chiyuv. That's a major machlokus, the rush and the Ramah.
In other words, how does this chiyuv to build the wall exist? Is it a one-time chiyuv in which you can be mochel, or is it what? A continuous chiyuv every day, because I'm being mazikim with hezek reiyah. What's behind that machlokas? Before we even get into that, anyone who has questions on something that's lost in that following? Yeah.
Would you say that when if you're going to say that it's a continuous thing, that as soon as one person goes and says, no, I want to go to the wall, do you say that if it is one thing and forever, do you say that even though it's written down, if people are just come to an agreement and say, you know, like, you both want to go to the wall, even though that it's written down, can that override?
They're for sure allowed to build the wall. But the question is, can I do, again, people can always do things that they agree when it comes to meeting mom and say. In other words, I could pay for the wall myself. We can build that of all sorts of things as long as we agree. But the problem is when I want a more expensive wall and you want a cheaper wall, so does halacha mandate you to pay for the wall that I want, or does halacha mandate me to lower my standards? Well, these cases come up all the time.
Does that change if it's a one-time thing?
Because
I'm saying, if you're going to say that it's a one-time thing, then as soon as one party agrees, or the other one agrees, so then, you know, you have it in writing,
If you wrote down the chila that were mocha,
right, or
in front of Adam, according to the Rush, that is a good mechila. And even though the Hastings is going to come and complain to me years later, you want to pay for the wall, go pay for it yourself. You're a mocha. According to the Ramban, you don't have such a right. I don't have such a right to reflect their claim, and I do have to chip in and pay for the Hastings wall. That's my folks. I want to discuss. What's behind that? Did anybody want to suggest? Yeah.
Can we build that wall?
You can definitely build the wall on your own land, that's for sure. You can even build it half and half.
I can do that?
Yeah, that's if you want to chip in and pay for my money, yeah. Meaning, good question. To be honest with you, we have to put more copies. It's an excellent question. Could you build a wall? Again, certainly if you can be mechayev, according to the Ramban, if you can be mechayev and build a wall, certainly you can pay for it. The question is, according to the Rush, what would you say? And that's the question we're deciding right now. I can think that more, maybe look more of an issue. I'm not prepared to answer that question right now. It's relevant to our sugya, but not critically relevant to the point where it's not really our sugya, it's a mode. I mean, it could be. That's why maybe I have to think about more. Maybe I have to do more research. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
According to the people of the road,
yeah,
that's by the people, that's by the wife. Meaning, well, you and I come up like, oh, I don't have one, I don't mind having a wife.
And
now I'm a wife.
That's a great question, Uncle. It's a great question, Uncle. It's a good question. We're going to hold on to that a second. Okay, let's build the foundation first before we get into the main central core issues. It's an important issue, but we'll get back in a second. New, we're both, how much time is not focused? What's as far as? Who makes more sense in the first place, the Rush or the Ramban? Which sheet intuitively do you like more?
Now we have to figure out how the other guy goes. We'll go back to the first sheet. So we should break it down to the four bits. Like, yeah, what do you like more?
The rush.
The rush. Why?
Because when you make an agreement, you're not saying it's a temporary thing. You're saying, at, like, we're going to agree right now. We're not building a wall.
I was mocha to build this wall. So how can you ever come ahead and do what? Force me to do. Okay, good. And according to the Ramban?
According to the Ramban, you have to say when you make, like, the original agreement. Right now we're making the agreement that we're not going to build a wall, but as soon as...
No, the case is you don't. The case is you are eternally mochel. Even according to the Ramban, when you are eternally mochel, still, that mechila doesn't last you for eternity. Yeah, what would the mechila be?
Well, the fact that you leave every second, you get that whole,
So, here's a great methodological clue, which is off the fact. Anytime you ever have something like Hezek Re'ia, which forces me to build this wall, right? Hezek Re'ia. One can ask a question intuitively that should sound like, is that real Hezek or not? On one hand, it is real Hezek, which is why you're perturbed, you're bothered, you don't like it, and it's called Hezek. On the other hand, what? There really is no physical loss in the second part of Hezek, you know. Nothing. At the end of the day, if I rip your shirt, that's real Hezek. If I snatch your face in, that's real Hezek. If I burn down your house, that's real Hezek. Right? If I just look into your backyard, is that real Hezek? It's not real Hezek. And therefore the question is, how serious is this Hezek Re'ia? The truth is, there's actually a machlokes amoraim about this, as to whether Hezek Re'ia, Shmei Hezek, or Lav Shmei Hezek. Is Hezek Re'ia real Hezek or not? In other words, Hezek Re'ia Shmei Hezek, or Hezek Re'ia Lav Shmei Hezek, which means it's like totally mutter. But if you believe it is Shmei Hezek, is it just that you're chayiv, or is it mamish real nezek? And that's our question. What option is it's real nezek? It's bona fide nezek. Where am I, the lights? They're on the timer for regular shiur time. In any event, we're going to go on in about 25 minutes. The last 5 minutes of shiur, hopefully we'll catch it. If it's real bona fide nezekin, that every second along the way I'm damaging, every second I look into your rishos, so if you were a mochel 30 years ago, and you're a mochel 30, 29, 28, 27 years ago, that doesn't mean that you are mochel now. If I rip your shirt yesterday, and you're like, that's fine, that doesn't mean I can necessarily rip your shirt today. If I've been ripping your shirt every day, if I've been taking your lunch money, right? If I've been ripping your shirt every day for the last 15 years, and you had no problem with it, and now you say, slow down, stop ripping my shirt, Rabbi Horn, what would the halacha be? Of course you can force me to stop ripping your shirt. If every day you wear a new shirt and I rip it, and you're like, no problem, no problem, no problem. One day, like, stop ripping it, and I rip it, what's the din? Of course I'm chai. You can't even talk about chaydokas or mechilas on previous chiyuvim because every second there's a brand new chiyuv because Hezek Re'ia is what?
How do you define Hezek though?
I agree. So the answer is that's the chish. Hezek Re'ia is real damage, even though it doesn't impact your physical property in a negative way. Just for me looking into your shoes, that's damaging enough. Alternatively, one can suggest, no, that me looking into your rishus is not real nezikin. Hezek Re'ia is not mamish, it's just a chiyuv mamon. All it is it's the mechayev to build the wall. It's a, you know, there's a chiyuv for me to, it's halacha in hilchas shchenim, not in hilchas nezikin. I have responsibility to be a good, you know, a good neighbor, not to minimize the damage. I have a municipal responsibility, a municipal ordinance, in other words, the municipality of the municipality element of it, that I have a halacha to be a halachically good neighbor. Similarly, there's a halacha that, let's say the city wants to build a wall around the entire city for security. What's the din? The din is everyone chips in. Where does that come from? If I live in a city, I live in a community, there's certain zoning, you know, municipal responsibilities that you have. And one of them is not to have a wall that, look at the guy's backyard if he doesn't want you to. That's called hezek ri. It's not real nezek. That is more, if it's not a chizik out in the zikin, what's the chiyuv? There's a chiyuv to build a wall. There's a chiyuv kotel. That's where Rav Bar had the lashon in his Birch HaShmur. There's a chiyuv kotel. I have a chiyuv mamon to build a wall. And if that's the case, a chiyuv mamon, like a halva or a one-time chiyuv to pay for this wall, if that's the case, then what's the halva? You can't have what?
Bimokha.
Mechila. That you were, in other words, mechila would work if you're mochel, just like you owe me $100. And I'm mochel that I can't go ahead later on if you're back in it. If you owe me $50, I can't go ahead and say, because that's the answer I was mochel, so too. If you have a chiyuv to pay for a wall, and I'm mochel that, if it's a chiyuv mamon, it identifies and reflects all other chiyuv mamon, which mechila works. If at every second there's real nezikin, then what? Every second, the Brady Chiyuv Nezikin, and the Chora, that is the Machlokas, the Rush versus the Ramban. According to the Rush, what's the Halakha? What is it? It's a Chiyuv Mamon. According to the Ramban, what is it? It's a Chiyuv Nezikin. If this is correct, something else works out very nicely. What's that? If this is correct, something else works out very nicely. The following Halakha is the Machlokas.
Let's say that he can come along to me tonight morning. We want, you to build half a wall with us. Now I know I don't have enough money to build this wall. Whether I'm chayiv or not, let's say even now, it's not 30 years later. I move into the house, but we just we build the house, we build land together, we're both brand new neighbors in the city, and hey, but let's build the wall because I have to. I'm like, listen, I just spent all my money, my last dime, on getting this house up. Just erecting the mirror, I'm really sure people bought a house. They got loans and it's intense and start rebudgeting yourself and start feeding kids noodles close to me. I never got that. Whatever the case, It cost a lot of money. So I said, I can't afford an expensive wall right now. And he's like, you want an expensive wall? And I'm like, the best I can do. The best thing here is our backyard. And here's the halfway mark. Instead of buying an expensive wall, I see what it's about the Hezek Ri'ah problem.
You're like a quarter
of it? You know what I'll do? I'll put up a sheet on my own land, so you don't have to pay for it at all. I'll put up a big, huge sheet. What's called a halakha. Put some like palm branches. Put is the cheapest wall possible. I'll put up a sheet. I'll get a big, huge string across, and I'll get a bunch of those little, those clips, coffins, exactly, and each one will clip along the sheet, and this way, I won't be able to look into your house, you won't be able to look into my house, you'll have solved all the problems. You want to know what? I won't put the wall, but it won't cost you a penny, and I'll do it on my own land.
It's not even enough wall, though.
It definitely solves what problem has that for here. What's the din? Oh, by the way, pause, I skipped one thing. We'll get back to this in 30 seconds. Just go back to the Rush from where we left off. The Rush, remember the Sefer we just gave this Machlokes, the Rush and the Ramban, as to whether or not it's the Torah's Nezikin or the Torah's Mamon. Take a look at the next words of the Rush. The Rush came out to there's the way we explained it. The Rush says, just where I left off, I'm going back up. We'll get back to the Hutz of the Dachos in a second. I'm sorry I went out of order. I just flipped my mind. Aval in Yesh Edim Shemachu Hashut Ben Delazau Hezek Riyashuv Eidu Cholim Achzabahem. Even though it comes to class in the Zikin, you can always mandate the guy to pay back. Listen to these words. Shiny hacha de tibias mamon yesh b'nayhem. She is chayav kol echa l'chaveru l'sayav b'binyin ha-kotel. All there is a chiyav mamon to build a kotel. V'havi kimo she is chayav lo mama. And it's like I'm chayav you $100. The words that the Rush uses to express his theory are the exact words that we use to describe his theory as well. That's a very good thing. Meaning, if conceptually you have a really nice model, Hezek Ri'ah, is it real Hezek or not Hezek? Is this a Chiyuv Mamon or a Chiyuv Nezikin? And then the words of the Rush, they just light up and tell you exactly what he's saying. Good. So that's the first nafka minute to this Hakira.
The Machlokes gets the Ramban versus the Rush. The second one, maybe, again, back to our case on the future intersections, I lost a little bit of that. The Hazen said, we moved together. Hazen's like, let's pay for a wall, I'm going to put some adapters.
What's the din? The Rush quotes two dayas. The Rush quotes the Yesh Omrim, and then the Rush has his own shiva. The Rush quotes the Yesh Omrim, and actually the Ramban, which is going to work out nicely. It's actually the Ramban. The Rosh doesn't quote it in the Ramban. I don't know if the Ramban said it, or just by chance the Ramban said it. He quotes Yesh Omrim, who said that this is not good enough. Why not? Because the Yesh will say, if your sheep falls down in front of a big wind, your cloth pins didn't really solve the deal. In other words, how can you compare a nice, good, rock wall, brick wall out of the field or whatever it is, to a bunch of cloth pins? You may temporarily have solved the issue that the sheet is covering up, you can't see from one side of the guy's property to the other side, but you've solved technically the Hezekiah problem. But ultimately, there's a tremendous amount to be desired because it's a very short-term solution. 20 minutes from now, the sheet may fall down. So it's going to rain over the weekend, it's going to fall down. You didn't really have a long-term solution. That's the shita of the Ramban. In other words, the Rush is blushing when he quotes this Yesh Omrim is, he says, Shafil Imrotza Lichnos Atoch Shalom V'ligda Behut V'dam Lechem Chaveiro Ma'akev Allah. The Hasan can complain and say, L'fisha Omrlo, it's on the left column, if you want to look at under the underlying thing, one second. Ain a mechitza shel kaima. This is not a real long-term mechitza. At the end of the day, the Rush takes the first shita, which says it is good. The Rush, again, allows for this wall to count. Because short-term it's good enough. And the Ramban says, no, because it doesn't have long-term, is that a long-term solution? It's not good enough. Yeah?
So I don't
think that. That's true, but it's significantly better. Yeah, you're right. But,
what do you think? 20 minutes
is good,
3 days is good.
It's true. It's a fair point. It's a fair point. I guess the answer. It's a fair point. I guess the answer would be if the wall, within reason. In other words, who defines? Yeah, you're right. Who defines reason and what the standard is? It's a good question. You're right.
He wants
No. That was the first mission. The first mission spoke about that was a certain standard of the town, which is stone or bricks or stick. Now the question is there something of permanence or not? I guess you have to define. It's a fair question. In other words, the truth is the way learning works, that's true in secular law as well, is that the court system, the judges, the Supreme Court, whatever it is, establishes what the rules are. And the rule would be you need permanent wall. And now the lawyers would debate cases back and forth. In other words, if you look at American law or Gemara law or any law in the world, you wouldn't find anything along the lines of a list of 5 million types of materials. Let's say it's 44 sticks, not 45 sticks. Let's say the sticks are very thick versus very thin. In other words, at the end of the day, everything needs to be defined. So the general way I think law system works, for sure learning, is that the Gemara and the Mishnah set up the major rules. Permanent wall, quality wall, less quality wall, less, etc., etc. And then every generation, the so to speak lawyers, and we'll have to be the postkin, would figure out how to take practical cases and fit them into the theory of law. So it's a fair point. What exactly is permanent, not permanent? But at the end of the day, it'd be difficult to argue a brick wall would not be permanent and a sheet would be permanent. Now, I know I haven't yet defined and given examples of every case in between, but that's a job for the postman. That's a job for an American law would be, you know, you have to go to the case and then the judge would, the jury, depending on how big the case would be, they'd have to look at what the law is and figure out, does this particular case fall into category X or fall into category Y? What I'm trying to do in Shear, both today and in general, is to develop the categories. And I think this, even though, you know, it's a little bit of a side point, but I think it's a critical point in terms of the theory of learning, what lumpness is all about. We're not trying our best to plug in every single case. That's a job for the post. Our job is to develop the theories of law, the theories of halakha. What is this wall all about? And once we have those theories, then the post will have to figure out how this on a case-by-case basis. In any event, what's behind this machlokes between the Yesh Omrim versus the Rush? Why does the Rush believe that as long as you put it to Hutz Madafa, it's good enough, and according to the Ramban, it's not good enough because it'll fall down again in a few minutes from now? Yeah?
I think
you
got some cheers, but
no?
But the Rush would say that you miss her every second. You've got to take care of this issue right now.
Whereas
the Rush,
once John
answers forever, then you've
got to
make sure that you're
taking
care of
this issue forever. According to the Ramban, who believes that every second, there's a new answer. Does it work? It doesn't work. Wait a second. Maybe it doesn't work. Wait a second.
Yeah, what time is it? What time? Thought it worked. Maybe I'm headed backwards. One second. Maybe I should install a tzedek riyah. Now, according to the Rush, as long as you do a temporary spilo tzedek riyah, that's good enough.
No, there are more.
I understand the swerve was the way around, right? I understand the problem. Let's work it out. What's that? According to the Rush, the Lashon is Elamat Speak Mash and Mathalik Yodikuli Menu Fisha. According to the Rush, in other words, maybe it's not close to the different Shayas, it's not close. I've got to link up the main app, okay? I'm not sure, I thought it worked out nicely, it doesn't work out nicely, that's all. I can see the inverse part working out much nicer. Yeah, intuitively, I would have thought, according to the Rush, as long as I'm solving the problem now, that should be good. According to the Yeshomim in the Rush, I think it's a lie. According to the Yeshomim in the Rush, as long as it's going to be later on, we've got to worry about later on.
But it's the other way around. The Rambam is saying you need a long-term wall. He's saying the Isser is new every single day.
Exactly. That's why you're preventing the Isser.
You say for the Rosh, the Isser can be 100 years long.
But you know it's going to fall down.
You don't put up a wall
like based on the fact that it's going to fall down. You put up a wall.
And the first case of the market that it breaks.
Yeah. It's not great, but you could try to fit it in. I'm not sure how that is, but you could try to fit it in as follows. If the chiyuv to build the wall is to prevent yourself from the zikin, so what's the halacha? Let's say you have a wild shor. Could you tie it up if you're tying it can last for about 25 minutes and leave the hour of animal alone for an hour? Would that be considered legitimate? When it comes to the zikin, what type of preventative measure must you take?
Full.
Right? In other words, if I have a big, huge bore in Shusha Rabba, and every other day I put up a sign that says, be careful, there's a bore. So every other day, when the sign's not up, it's totally irresponsible. In other words, let's take me, if I have an animal, if I tie a leash to my wild animal, short to the fence, if I tie my short to the fence, and in other words, the short's gonna, rally around, run around a lot, and eventually it'll break out after 25 minutes, and at least for an hour, that's totally responsible. I mean, when it comes to Nezikin, the Chorah, my key is not just to prevent short-term Nezikin, but any foreseeable Nezikin. That I can understand.
You can't do anything else in this case.
According to the Rosh, if it's the Chiyuv of Shechemin, if the Chiyuv is that, it's a one-time Chiyuv to build a wall. So I have a chiyuv to build a wall. When do I have the chiyuv to build a wall? The answer is when I'm doing hezek re'iyah. As long as there's hezek re'iyah, okay, this for me is, if hezek re'iyah is not a real nezikin, my chiyah is to be the style of my hezek re'iyah. If hezek re'iyah is real nezikin, I have chiyah to guard it eternally. Again, if hezek re'iyah is regular nezikin, I have a future, I have to take into account the future as well, just like any other example of nezikin in the world. However, if hezek re'iyah is not a real nezek, it's just right now I'm not allowed to look into your shus. And once I look into Rishus, I have a chiyuv. Once I have the capability of looking into Rishus, I have a chiyuv to build a wall. If that's the case, so once, if I can prevent that from happening in the first place, we consider I was blind. Or, our case, you put a sheet in front of your own land, if the hezek re'iyah doesn't get off the ground, the chiyuv b'niyas hakotel doesn't get off the ground. And it could be I don't have to take into account long-term things. Does that work? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, why don't we just look at it? We've been basically saying up until now that there have been two feathers, two walls, right? That there are two walls on each person's side. Why don't we just say that there should be one wall, but because the guy has no money, he makes the guy who wants the other wall, he's putting up one single wall, and he makes the guy the other wall on it. It shouldn't have to be that each person puts up their own wall.
No, they build one wall together, it's paying for it.
But then what does the sheet accomplish?
Is a way of saying, I'm not even doing hezek re'iyah in the first place. So if hezek re'iyah is real nezikin, it doesn't work. You have to take into account real nezikin. That's the name of all other nezikin. If hezek re'iyah is not real nezikin, it's a brand new halacha that I have to stop myself from hezek re'iyah. It's a brand new halacha, it's a din chadash.
It's not hezek nezikin, it's a brand new halacha, it's a din chadash. That if it doesn't get off the ground, it doesn't even start in the first place. I'm not even.
If it doesn't exist, then I have no responsibility.
But what does the other guy have? Then the other guy has some kind of responsibility.
You're
putting up a sheet. What's he doing?
Maybe he's doing nothing. But once the sheet is there, he can no longer look at the marishness, and therefore he doesn't have a sheet.
Why does the responsibility fall solely on you?
It doesn't. He's willing to pay for a wall. So if I want to build a wall, I can do that. I'm suggesting I'll just put up a sheet instead. If I put up a sheet instead, that's great. If I say, help pay for my sheet, they'll say, well, once you're going into the wall category, let's put up a real wall. Which gets, I'll just shut up and put up my sheet. Maybe not. As long as you can't see through, that's good enough.
If the
sheet falls down, you start from scratch again. He's like, right, well, build a wall together, and I'll put up a new sheet again. Constantly solve the problem. He doesn't have to put up a sheet if he doesn't want to, because once my sheet's up, it no longer has to be a problem. And before the sheet's up, he's willing to take the Mishnah's suggestion, which is build a wall. If he put a sheet in his own area, he sure would have solved the problem also, but he didn't want to do that. Okay. There's an interesting sheet of the Rabbeinu Yonah. I'll mention it briefly. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, you live in a city where no one builds walls. No one at all builds a wall. Why? I guess they are. You live in a city where no one builds a wall. You like the
comments
you put up here? No. If let's say you have a city where no one builds a wall, and now all of a sudden Hasten come along like, listen, enough is enough. It's time to build a wall. Can he be Machayev to build a wall? Says to Rabbeinu Yonah, absolutely not. Whether or not you accept this Rabbeinu Yonah now, what should it depend upon? No, it's going up. I know you got it, yeah? No? What does it depend upon? Is it okay? The exact same thing. Exactly my focus. Watch. The svar for the Beit Yonah is that the minhag hamakom is not, and therefore what? However, other Rishonim say you do have to build the wall. Where does that come from? Who cares what no one else does? If it's real nezek, then what? I have to stop me being mad at you, assuming that what? Yeah, I have to stop being mad at you, regardless of other people in the city being mad at each other or not. Who cares what they're doing? That's none of my business. However, if it's the halach in the zoning law, if it's the halach of the municipality, the halach of dinei shchenim, then lechora I have to build. I would be patrikas. No one builds walls in the city. Arguably, that you know, again, the Beit Yonah is actually based on two chidushim. One is that it's the city zoning law, and more than that is that hezek re'ia is completely dependent upon that. One could have argued that you have, in other words, one could have even accepted the major tzad of the chakira for sure if you say because it is digging your chayv to build a wall. One could have even said if it's the halach and hilchas shchenim, you're also chayv to build a wall, just which particular wall, that you can do on your own. In front of a sheet, you can do anything. Meaning one could have argued hezek re'ia, even if you hold it to halach and hilchas shchenim, nonetheless one could have still said, you know, just because the rest of the Shechem don't have any wall doesn't mean you're positive. Everything just means you can't mandate what particular wall you want. You can't mandate Gavil. You can't mandate Gavil. You can't mandate brick. You can just put up anything you want. The Beit Yonah has two chidushim captured. There's two assumptions for Beit Yonah. Number one is halacha of Shechem, and number two is that you may not even be chayav a wall at all. In any event, that's the shita of the Beit Yonah. I thought maybe one could say this hakira list way, way, way back to our machlokas over here. How so? Yeah, Shimshi, take it away. What?
The base fact thing, let's take the case where you have a whole city.
Yeah.
The whole city building the wall. And somebody owns 75% of the land in the city, he's allowed to build 75% of my wall.
Incorrect. Everyone just needs chips and equal. Yeah.
So you know. So,
you know, what's the square for the Adam? What's the square for the Rashash? Finish it up.
If it's a case of.
A point to the Adam, why do we each put in half?
Because it's all about me.
It's real Naziki.
Why?
Wow.
No, but if it's a city, you're not
as long as I'm being mad at you,
that's why
you and you're being mad at me, even if I own 2/3 of the land, or 9/10 of the land for that matter, my nezikin for you is equal to your nezikin for me. However, if it's a halacha hilchas shchenim, if it's a halacha about zoning laws, it depends upon whom owns the field. If I own 2/3 of the field, I'm chayav for 2/3 of the field. If you're responsible for 1/3 of the field, you're responsible for 1/3 of the field. I think it's too svara and then it's the fairish in the words. I'll show you the words in a second. Let me finish arguing the svara one more time. If the halacha is that I have to build the wall because I'm damaging you, it's not about equality. It's only about equality. In other words, let's take it this way. Why would I pay for 50%? Why would I pay for 50-50? The answer is because somehow we're equal. How are we equal? Not as to who owns the land, but how much we're damaging each other. I'm equally damaging you, and or better yet, I have an equal responsibility to prevent myself from damaging you as you do from damaging me, regardless of how much damage I'm doing to you and how much you're doing to me. In other words, I have a full chiyuv to watch my animal and not have it do $5 of damage to you. I have the exact same chiyuv to watch my animal and not have to do $50 million of damage to you. The chiyuv is to watch my animal. And therefore, if it's about the nezikin, we're each chayav equal. If it's about who owns the land and who owns more of the field, if the chiyuv comes from, I'll say differently, is the chiyuv that the people have to build the wall, or is the chiyuv that has to be a wall on the field? Why would there be a wall in the field? Because I tell them to shchein. This field needs a wall. How do we break it down? Depends on who the owner is. If it's a halacha about people cannot allow themselves to be mad at each other via hezek re'ia, then we're each being mad at each other equally. This is the way Rav Barber learns the sugya. This is, I think, the standard way of understanding this, the pasuk pshat in the sugya. I'll add on one or two nekudos in a minute, just quickly. One, two, yeah, one.
And by city, why is it that we don't go by the city?
You're 100% right. The Rashash, his biggest raya, is from the Gemara and Daf Zayin. If there's a city, everyone chips in. I'm sorry. Oh, I said it wrong. You were right, you said it before. I thought it was.
Sorry, I messed up. Sorry.
The Rashash's biggest raya is on Daf Zayin, Daf Pes, which is whoever owns more land in the city chips in more for the wall. So too over here, it's two tzvachim versus four tzvachim. So I have an end to say that. The Rashi Mishash would have a favor. I just mixed it up, sorry. The Yad Ramaz Lasha, this is the Yad Ramaz Lasha. The Lord came a honey deal hit the Shabu Kolkei Lahadadi. El Afilu came a delo Shabu Kolkei Lahadadi. We divide it evenly. Here's the reason. El Kimit Abin Saluke had the Briya Mahadadi who did it that. The Kavan did Tarvayu Bahai Hedekeha to Hadadi Ninu. The Tarvayu Mazdi Ahadadi. They're each one are being mad at each other. Umechaide to Hadadi. Therefore, they're Chaya to do what? The Saluke had the Briya Mahadadi. Being who the Yarvet Hadadi. And therefore, each one is equal. And therefore, we have a wonderful machla, a wonderful hakira, three nafkaminis to the shaila, one is the rush versus Tosfos, two is the rush versus Tosfos, three is the agama versus the rush. One last little liquid, I think, will bring it all down. Take a look back at the days of Malaf and the Gemara. I will finish up with you afterwards. Take a look. Tosfos Dibre Maschel de Gabio. Tosfos Dibre Maschel de Gabio. Tosfos says, the Gabio, then no St. Gimel Tzvachim. You see that? V'hadilo k'amr b'gabiel v'av tzvachim mishum blah blah blah. Who do you think the word mishum? Textually, what does Tosfos do? What does Tosfos do? No? Correct. What he's doing is, he's answering and he's implying a question. What's the implied question? Why does it say gimel v'gimel? What should it say? V'av. You got the question? It does say gimel over gimel, but it should have said vav tvachim. V'hadilo kamer gavil v'vav tvachim. And that's why it doesn't, here comes the reason why it doesn't say vav tvachim. It should have said, what's his answer? V'shim delo natay l'meymar. I'm sorry, v'shim delo natay l'meymar vav l'kol echad. If it would have said vav, says Tosfos, it'd be somewhat misleading. What would you have thought? It'd be vav per guy. That the hasten have to stick in Bob and Alex stick in Bob. If we just say Bob Tvach, it would be unclear. You wouldn't know if it's Bob total or Bob combined. I'm sorry, right? Bob total or Bob for each one. However, if you say three and three, it's a lot clearer. You got it? Tosfos' question is it should have said Bob. What's Tosfos' answer? How would you classify Tosfos' answer? A fundamental one or a technical one? Technical. Really, it should have said what? Vav. However, technically, we can't because it would be misleading. There's another sheet out there besides Tosfos, who is the Ramban. The Ramban writes, you want to know why it doesn't say Vav? You want to know why it says Gimel Gimel? What does that mean from the Gimel Gimel?
Literally,
like, literally,
like, in the middle, like, between
three,
not like
the proportional. Correct. If you hold to the Yad Ramah, then what? Yeah. And there's in other words, let's just take a step back. Anytime I ever ask you a question, you can answer, or at least an attack question like this, you can answer one of two ways. You can say no, or you can say yes, but. Right? Shouldn't it have been written gim above? You know what the Ramban's answer is? No, it shouldn't have. It should have been written gimel or gimel. And Tosfos said, what?
Should.
It should, yes, but technically it's a problem. Okay, differently. Tosfos is a question based upon two assumptions. What two assumptions does the question based upon? What? It should say Bob, and it could say Bob. Tosfos' answer is what? No, it couldn't say Bob. Well, the Ramban says no, it shouldn't say Bob. Well, my nafkamina, the difference is, shouldn't have said, what? Yeah. Tosfos' question is, hey, Vav would be a better thing to say, and not only would be a better thing to say, but you could do it as well. One is that it should have said Vav, number two is that it could have said Vav. That's what most folks assume. Which, this question is correct, the mission is wrong. Alright, the mission is obviously right, because the mission said what it said, and therefore, which one of these two assumptions is wrong? According to Tosfos, which assumption is wrong? Number two. According to the Ramban, number one is wrong. According to the Ramban, it should not have said Bob. What should it have said? Gimel al Gimel. According to Tosfos, what should it have said? Bob. If that's really true, L'chora, this Mahmokis, the Ramban, and Tosfos, would work out this way. Follow that?
Yeah.
And why is it absolutely beautiful? It's exactly what she thought so. Because the same machlokes, the Ramban versus the Rush, the Ramban works out with Shikaso, because the Ramban was it is a din of Gimel Gimel. It is a din in Nezikin, like the Ramban said, every second, like the Ramban said, where Ben is thinking in the future, I like the Rush of the Agam. Huh? And it makes sense, close to the Rush, the Rush is actually one of the Chatnei Tosfos. You, more often than not, the Rush follows Tosfos to disagree. It's not perfect, but the Rush would be working with Tosfos and the Rashash, and the Chora, they would argue with the Halakha, both the Shechenim, and this really is the major Chakira, the major Mafteach to the entire first couple of doctrine of Baba Basra. How do I understand what Hilchas, this din of building a Kotel, Shutfin, Sharatu, Lashat, Mechit, Bechatzer, where is it coming from? Is the Chiv to build that wall one of being misalik you from being a Mazik? That really you're a magic, you're really damaging people, you're really hurting people. You better stop doing that. It's a real Torah Nezikin. Therefore, you're speaking every second. Therefore, there'd be equal amounts to prevent each other. Therefore, you have to take into account the future because you're a real magic. Alternatively, one could suggest, if the halacha and hilchas shein, that when a person moves into town, he can't be an impolite, discourteous neighbor. You shouldn't be peeping Tom into someone else's backyard. And if you are, or the potential to, you got to build a wall. That's not the Torah of the Deacon, it's the Torah Shechenim, it's about being a good nature. If you're peeping Tom with the little, you know, in the 1960s movies, you know, with a little telescope, watching, you know, it's not about like you're looking at some girl's window or something like that. There's no din magic there, but it's totally inappropriate. It's a not, it's a discourteous neighbor, and therefore the halacha mandates you build a wall. That wall is a one-time chiyuv. If someone's mochel, they're mochel. That wall is based upon who owns the land. You don't have to pay necessarily 50%, but rather it's a proportionate divide. That wall is a, you know, is a what's it called? It's a chiyuv that has to get done. Not necessarily long term. As long as you don't have that chiyuv in the first place, then you don't have to build that wall in the first place. And therefore, these three or so nafkaminas link up conceptually as well as textually. Why the Mishnah used the word gimel al gimel? Did it use it fundamentally? Is that exactly the point of the Mishnah? Or is it a technical point that it could not have said Vav because Vav would be misleading? That is a machlokas to Rabban Tosfos. And again, if you can see the textual things link up to the conceptual things, the Rush and the Rush uses is exactly the svara for the Rush. If the, you know, the way you can explain the textual nuances of the Mishnah, why it said Vav versus gimel al gimel, you can show depth and conceptual understanding of that textual stuff, and it links up Lashitasam, there's a good chance, a much greater chance, that chiyuv is true. Now the truth is, we just did a quick survey of the sugya. I'm sure if you did the sugya more properly, there's all sorts of spectrum of possibilities in the middle, where it's a brand new chiddush, but it has some DNA Nezikin, and there's all sorts of room in the middle for, you know, it doesn't have to be only X or Y, there's obviously roots of shape of gray in the middle, but just to at least highlight the two extremes, and break into a whole other area of Shas, so we were yotzei in that. All right, we'll continue Chazar in the Beit Medrash in a few minutes.